Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app. And now, it's time for a Deep South legend that's been keeping it real here in Atlanta for over two decades. It's the Buck Ballou Show, only on The Fan.
We are live from Athens at the University of Georgia's Budsmere Heritage Hall in the House of Pain Indoor Athletic Facility. Hey, everybody, it's the Buck Ballou Show. Here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7, the official sports talk home of the Georgia Bulldogs. And we are knee-deep in Bulldog action here today. We're going to change it up. We'll give you the big take coming up here in a minute. But we've got the Georgia baseball coach, Wes Johnson. We're going to start the show with Wes today, coming off a big series win this past weekend. Coach, appreciate your time, man.
Well, thanks for having me, man. Always love coming on. And, you know, people think I'm joking. I talked to Chris Lakos today, looked at scorebook of your last game. I mean, you got any eligibility left? We need you, man.
I'd have to DH, I think, at this point in time. You got plenty of hitting. You know, I could pitch maybe an inning or two for you.
Hey, sometimes we need three outs, and they all count.
You know, when I came over here, and Coach Dooley was gracious enough to say, okay, we're going to let you play baseball. As long as you're contributing, we'll let you play baseball all 4 years. And Coach Roy Umstead was the coach my freshman year. And so he says, you know, what do you want to do here? You want to pitch? You want to play the outfield? I did both in high school. And I said, well, I like to do both. And he says, let me get this straight. So you're going to miss fall ball playing football, and then you want to come out in the spring and you want to pitch and play the outfield. And I said, oh, all right, I'll just play the outfield then, you know, if that's going to be a problem.
Yes.
Those were good times. So good series this past weekend, man. You guys bounced back really nice.
Yeah, you know, the guys are really resilient. You know, you look at that opening weekend in league play, and you know, we didn't play very well. We had a lot of breaks not go our way. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen when you go on the road, and you know, we've got to learn to deal with adversity a little bit when you get out there. Things aren't going to go your way on the road typically. You need to be ready for that, and you need to be ready to accept that challenge. And then, you know, we got back. We played a really good Wofford team on Tuesday after that series, and you know, the message was just simple. We're back home. We got to get back focused. We got to concentrate even harder. We can't give away bats or pitches, and went out and had a good game and against Wofford, like I say, a really good Wofford team, and then you know, rolled into Alabama, and you know, you don't know how you're gonna respond. We had to play a doubleheader. Doubleheaders are hard in our league, and especially to sweep them. But we had I had scheduled a doubleheader earlier in our non-conference just because I knew one would be coming. I wanted our guys to be ready to be on their feet for 18 innings. I mean, you know, playing this game, just being on your feet for 18 innings is tough. Being able to stay focused and have great concentration. So I you know, referred back to that with our guys going into Saturday, and I think it really helped. And our guys were hungry. It was two really good ball games. Obviously, we hit the walk-off grand slam in game one, and then I think Alabama's best pitchers are their guy who goes game two, and then we were able to beat him and get him out of the game, and you know, then carried it over into Sunday, which was a lot of fun.
The walk-off grand slam in that first game, I was a little stunned that your player was suspended for the second game for excessive celebration, was it?
Yeah.
You got to wait until you touch home plate before you throw the helmet up in the air?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of factors that's going on now with the NCAA trying to, you know, curb, I guess, excessive celebration that might lead to some form of, you know, a brawl or an altercation. And, yeah, it was unfortunate. Obviously, we didn't like it. Obviously, we've you know, done what we need to do, I guess, on reporting our end of it. I guess I'll leave it at that. And, we had Kobe back on Sunday, and it was good. I think he had 3 hits on Sunday. So, you know, it was good to have him back in the lineup.
So, Corey Collins has been hitting that ball for you, too, man. I mean, my goodness, he's been lighting it up. And tell us about the job he's doing. I know everybody's talking about Charlie Condon, but wanted to ask you about Collins.
You know, we moved Corey to the leadoff spot, and you know, he's obviously not your conventional leadoff guy. He's not going to steal bases. But when you've got Superman hitting behind him and Charlie Condon, you just need guys on base. And Corey has phenomenal plate discipline and, you know, has a high on-base percentage. So we're like, okay, this is going to be a good move. Corey can also really hit a fastball. So what you're seeing is, you know, they'll try to get Corey to chase one or two, and then they're getting in that 2-0 count or even that 2-1 count, and they're giving him the fastball, and this guy can hit fastballs. And he's doing a phenomenal job of doing it. You know, it's like I told him, I said, Corey, you know, we talked about moving your leadoff to get on base. You're just keeping going, which I like. Keep touching them all, but nobody's still on base in front of Charlie. So, obviously phenomenal week for him. Was the SEC Player of the Week. 3 homers in a game, you know, last week. I mean, he's just and he's older. You know, there's something to be said for the older players in our league. They just know what to expect. They've seen a lot of different pitches, a lot of different pitchers, you know, with different stuff, different angles. And so nothing really surprises them. That you just got to execute to get him out. And right now he's not chasing at all. So it really helps us.
Got a chance to spend a little time with Charlie Condon this past football season, and just left so impressed. You know, I didn't see him swing the bat. I saw him, you know, play a little bit last year, but just as a, you know, a student athlete, just seems to be a great guy. You know, been texting back and forth with him a little bit. Just he's been the talk of the program here so far. I'm just stunned they're still pitching to him.
Well, you know, you look at it, and like I say, some of the things that we're doing with the lineup and some of the guys that are, as I call it, bookending him, obviously Corey in front. Another guy, Slate Alford, who's hitting behind Charlie right now. Slate is a really, really tough out. Right now he's in the top. These are crazy little stats I look at. He's in the top 5 of 2-strike foul balls. So that just lets you know that you're really going to have to make pitches to get Slate out. He's going to sit in there and battle and drive pitch counts and do different things, and also has the ability to hit it out of any ballpark that we play in at any time against any pitcher. And so people are just, you know, we've kind of got it set up right now. You got to pick who's really going to hurt you. Obviously, Charlie's is the highest risk
one. Got to pitch to somebody.
But, you know, if he's on first base and then Slate comes up and runs that ball out of the yard, you know, it's not just, it's 2 runs. So, you know, those guys need to continue to do some things like they are, meaning Corey and Slate and a few other ones, Dylan Goldstein. And if they'll do that, people are going to have to continue to pitch to Charlie.
Talking with Bulldog baseball coach Wes Johnson, getting ready for a trip up to Knoxville, taking on the Tennessee Volunteers. So the pitching staff got roughed up a little in Lexington. And You went with basically the same group against Alabama, and they performed at a much higher level. You must have coached them up coming into the second series. What's going on with that?
Well, yeah, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about our pitching staff, and, you know, we've got a lot of guys who are just, quite frankly, are inexperienced in the roles they're in that we need them to pitch in. And what you're seeing is you obviously have to coach every week, every day. You know, you have to get them better every single day in this league. And so there is going to be a progression. You'll see them, you know, hopefully continue to get better, but it just doesn't happen overnight. We want it to happen as fast as it can. I think that, you know, when we got roughed up that weekend in Kentucky, they learned a lot. And sometimes, as you guys know, you got to have that little bit of failure to really be able to pull back and continue to put a plan together that's going to show them how they can be successful. And, you know, that's what we're continuing to work on. They still got a long ways to go. I'm not going to sit here and say we're even close to a finished product on the mound, but we're going to continue to work and get better, and hopefully we'll continue to get good results.
The Buck Belusio research staff researching the first 2 weekends of SEC baseball play, And apparently there's a home field advantage going on in the SEC, which is absolutely loaded, Coach. I think everybody knows that by now. If you can win in the SEC, you can win anywhere. So 11 of the 14 series, the first 2 weeks of the SEC schedule, have been won by the home team. What's going on?
Yeah, I think recruiting is getting so concentrated on just your ballpark, right? You know you're going to play 15 SEC games there. You know you're going to play the majority of your non-conference games there. You need to, you know, prepare for your ballpark. And you look, and, you know, the one way to look at it is Kentucky, for example. They play in the biggest ballpark in our league. And so they're known for pitchers that sink the ball and, you know, they're able to steal a lot of bases and they recruit a lot of speed. Not that anybody doesn't want speed, but they don't recruit power as much. I mean, they obviously try to, but, I mean, they're more focused on that, where we look at things and we think we can hit home runs. So we would take the power more over the speed, for example, just because of the way our ballpark plays, and especially guys who can hit the ball to, you know, the right field. And so I think what's happening in the league is everybody is really honing in and recruiting to their ballpark. And so you're seeing that. You're seeing guys, you know, they're comfortable there. They're able to play in their game where, you know, a Kentucky comes to a smaller ballpark, you know, the bunting and stuff just gives outs away, and there's always a chance for a massive three-run homer that can really flip a game, for example. So you're seeing that. You're seeing that a lot.
Well, best of luck this weekend. I tell you, all these weekends are tough. You know, you don't get a weekend off, do you? I mean, Tennessee's got a really good club. What are you expecting to see out of those guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're ranked as number five in the country. You know, they're really, really offensive. Another team that's really built for their ballpark. They're extremely offensive. I really like their three starters, and they have two to three really good arms out of the bullpen. So, you know, they're a club that's like a lot of the clubs in our league. Really good offense, older. You know, their ballpark plays a little similar to ours. So, you know, I think we're the two leading home run teams in the country. So we'll just see. Hopefully we'll go up there and we'll continue to swing a hot bat and we'll make some pitches and things will go our way.
Should be a good atmosphere up there. You got a lot of good atmospheres in the SEC these days. I mean, it's incredible the fan support these SEC programs are getting, and you guys too.
Yeah, no, I mean, our fans this past weekend were phenomenal. I talked about that. I mean, I think we were over 11,000 for the weekend, and we couldn't have done it. I mean, even our players were coming in talking about the energy that they were getting from from our fans. So I can't thank them enough. But yeah, when you go on the road, I mean, it's not quite as similar as football, but I mean, like today, we've got practice today, and you know, we'll do a couple things with some crowd noise just to make sure that everybody can still communicate, because it does. I mean, the big difference between, you know, the football and baseball crowds is the crowds in baseball, they're like right on top of you, so it doesn't take but about, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 people for it to get loud because they're just right there on you. And so, you know, we have to practice that, we have to be ready for that, and then we have to be able to slow the game down when you're on the road and those situations happen.
I'm sure it seemed like a little bit of a whirlwind taking over the baseball program. How's it going? You settling in? How's the family adjusting to Athens? How's that going?
Yeah, I don't know that you ever settle in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we
you're
have
too
to,
busy.
Yeah, it's every day. But no, we're doing good. Everybody's doing good. Yeah, we're getting close, I guess. If like I say, if there's ever a point where you do truly settle, I mean, you guys know this league's so competitive, and you don't ever sleep a lot, right? I mean, yeah. There's always some recruiting, preparation, getting ready to play. So, but we're getting close. We're getting close to settling in.
All right, we're going to come cheer you on in Starkville coming up here in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to seeing you guys out there.
Yeah, Starkville's, you know, I coached there way back in 2016, and, you know the environment. Now, we were at the old stadium. They've got the new one now, but which is way more hitter-friendly. It used to be the biggest ballpark, you know, in the league prior to building the new stadium. So it'll be interesting. I've only played one series there with the new ballpark. So I'm anxious to get over there as well and take on a really good team. And we're a really good team, so it should be a lot of fun.
You guys are off to a great start. I wish you nothing but the best moving forward, Wes. Thanks so much for coming over, spending a little time with me today.
You bet. Thanks for having me, and go Dogs.
Sick 'em. Yeah, appreciate it, man. Bulldog baseball team off to a great start. to this SEC season. And we appreciate Wes Johnson so much coming over and spending a little time with us today. Just love my time playing with the Bulldog baseball team here at the University of Georgia. All right, coming back on the other side, man, we're going to get back on track. I'm going to do the big take. We've got some college football, Georgia college football news. I'm going to tell you who I'm excited to see at G-Day coming up here soon and talk about the quarterback, Carson Beck. Got the Buck Ballou Show here on The Fan, live from Athens at the University of Georgia. You're listening to 680 and also The Fan on 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
At the University of Georgia, and it's great to be back in here, hanging out at the Georgia Athletic Facility, which is a little different than when I was here. Just saying, just a little bit different, Road Dog, than when I was roaming around Athens back in the day. We're at the House of Pain Indoor Athletic Facility. And coming up at 35 in the Bulldog Beat, I'm going to have Coach Abe. We'll talk about the women's basketball program and see what's going on there. Right now, though, let's restart the show. Holloway, can we do that? Just go with the big take right now.
Bucks Big Take.
Kirby Smart's 2023 Bulldog team got disrespected by the College Football Playoff Committee. Georgia dominated the SEC regular season, going undefeated 8-0. Dogs were 12-0 when they slipped and lost by 3 points to Alabama in the SEC championship game. The two-time defending champs, that would have been the Georgia Bulldogs, dropped from number one all the way down to number six, and out of the playoffs. Lame. Fraudulent. Disrespectful. Shameful. And the returning players should be motivated to set the record straight, to flip the script, take down the Tide in Tuscaloosa, go horns down with a big win in Austin, show these two playoff teams who's boss. And the Bulldogs focused on winning the SEC in the upcoming season and then take on all comers in this new 12-team playoff. Kirby's 2024 team will kick off the season one of the favorites, and I can hardly wait to see this unfold. Dogs back on top, that is the mission, and we get a preview coming up on G-Day. And there's your big take. Still a little fired up about getting dissed by that playoff committee. And I'll tell you, still what has got still under my skin a little bit is ESPN having that two-hour college football playoff special immediately following announcing the four playoff teams. And they had a two-hour show, and they did not mention Georgia's fate during the two-hour show. And we're talking about a team that was the two-time defending champs. And not once during the 2 hours did they talk about why Georgia was left out of the playoffs. And I'm still fired up about it. Still fired up. But looking forward to this season. And looking forward to the big golf event we've got coming up here in a couple weeks, too. Mastering Southern Hospitality for over 17 years. Club Magnolia is the place to be off the course in Augusta coming up this April. The ultimate Augusta hospitality can be your exclusive private sanctuary, boasting top-tier amenities and service. Don't you love it? The perfect oasis of both indoor and outdoor VIP service. New in 24, Club Magnolia 19, our after-golf experience Wednesday through Sunday, and you can join today. Limited memberships are available to experience hospitality at its finest during one of the most recognizable events in the world. Go to clubmagnolia.com for full details. And to get the club today. And I look forward to seeing you there as we get ready for the big golf event. Holloway, I'm not going to kid you about Ohio State losing to Georgia last night. I'm going to save that for later. Right now, let's get to a college football nugget.
Tasty. Time for the college football nugget.
Holloway, I don't want to get you started about the Buckeyes, man.
Morning, David. Morning.
All right, I mentioned G-Day. Looking forward to seeing the new team on G-Day coming up here in a couple weeks. And wanted to share with you who I'm excited to see the most on G-Day. And I've got a player on each side of the ball. Defensively, can't wait to see Mykel Williams, the junior out of Columbus, Georgia, that is, not Ohio, who has moved from defensive end in that five technique. He's moved over to the outside linebacker spot. And this has given Mykel Williams the opportunity to show off his versatility, put that versatility on display. What do I mean by that? Well, you might see him standing up on the line of scrimmage one down, where he can play the run, where he can drop into coverage, where he can rush the quarterback. Chase down athleticism is what this guy's got. He's going to chase these ball carriers down on the other side of the field. Functional athleticism, they say in the business. So you'll see him stand up on one down. Then the next down, you'll see his hand on the turf, rushing the quarterback, setting the edge. And Mykel Williams is an accomplished pass rusher with multiple pass rushing moves. He's got the speed rush coming off the edge. He's got the power where he comes back inside on the offensive tackle. He's got the bull rush, the ghost technique. I mean, this guy is an accomplished pass rusher. And excited to see Mykel play the upcoming season. If he has the season I'm anticipating he's going to have, then we're talking about a first-round draft pick opportunity in 2025. So, Mykel Williams, man, unleash the beast. Can't wait to see it on display this season. Now, over on the offensive side of the ball, everybody's talking about ETN and the trouble he's in. Somebody else has got to pick up the slack. And I can't wait to see the sophomore and to see more of Roderick Robinson. Big, skilled running back. Got to see a little bit of him a year ago. First couple of games of the season last year, he got 14 carries. Just whet my appetite. Saw a 36-yard run against Ole Miss. Then in the season ender Orange Bowl against Florida State, got 7 carries for 70 yards. In between, he sort of went missing. But we're talking about a guy 6 foot, 6'1", 240 pounds. I would say the comparison with Roderick Robinson to me is Derrick Henry. And I'm looking for a second-year boost, which you're going to see out of most all these players. You know, as a freshman, everything's new to you. You're just green. You're wet behind the ears. You're right out of high school. There's a lot to learn. Roderick Robinson, more comfortable in the offensive scheme. Translation on that, he knows what to do. A year in the strength and conditioning program, stronger, a little more fit. And this guy might, to me, is a little more athletic than Derrick Henry. He's got that shake, some elusiveness. He can make a miss when he needs to. 8.2 yards per carry last season. So I'm thinking Roderick Robinson, man, 800-yard season, 10-plus touchdowns. Mikel Williams, 10-plus sacks, playing that new position at outside linebacker. Roderick Robinson's got an opportunity to shine with ETN in a little bit of trouble right now. So he's got a chance to play the lead role in that season opening game against Clemson and really set the tone. ETN gets back. You're talking about rotating in, being the big down back on first and 10, second and short, third and short, short yardage, goal line. With a top returning offensive line, a quarterback that can throw the ball, the threat of the pass. Robinson has a chance to have a really big second season. And say the same with Mikel Williams. This Georgia defense got some big timers at all three levels. You got Mikel Williams on the D-line, Smile Mondon at linebacker, Malachi Starks at that safety spot. So you got impact players at all three levels of the defense. Mikel's got that first-round talent. He's got the experience, looking to him to break out and have a huge season coming up this year. And those are two guys I'm really excited to see. So Holloway, there's the Nuggets. And, dude, what about Georgia taking down Ohio State? And you were right. There was a really good crowd last night there in Columbus, Ohio, cheering on the Buckeyes. It wasn't easy. The Bulldogs going in there and getting a win.
Yeah, no, it was definitely depressing. That is depressing for the country, that's for sure. You know, it's one of those things. You know, what are you gonna do? You can do all you can to
take it like a man.
Exactly. That's what we can do. That's what we Buckeyes. You know, that's what we do most of the time. So you know, we take losses, we accept it, and move on. You know, we got our massive trophy case to look at, so we're all right.
All right. Well, I just want to see if you took that loss too.
Oh no, we're good. That's all good. I'm more worried about the unprofessionalism of Road Dogg.
Program, you'd be taking that hard, wouldn't you?
If it was a football program, a little bit more difficult to take. But believe me, I took what happened from the Peach Bowl pretty well. So I mean,
yeah, I thought you handled that pretty well, man.
Yeah, I literally had no choice. I was surrounded by people who probably wanted to, punch me in the back of the head or spit on me. So I mean, it's whatever.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about Carson Beck later. Right now, we need to get to the Bulldog beat. You ready?
The Fan's got a Georgia Bulldogs national champion on the beat.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
This is the Bulldog Beat with Buck Ballou, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and attorney Ken Nugent.
And we are joined right now by Coach Abe, the women's basketball coach here at the University of Georgia. Coach, we appreciate your time today, Katie. Thanks for coming over.
Bad. I'm excited.
Yeah, gosh, I was watching a little Iowa basketball here, a couple nights ago, yep. And just so impressed. Now, you played here at Georgia for mm-hmm. Coach Landers, who I just adored.
Yeah, he's great.
And just was a little bit, with the way he worked you girls, I was thinking, I'm glad I was working with a football program, I mean, yep. I said, nobody's got it tougher than these girls here yep. at Georgia. And yep. so then you go back home and you play at Iowa and do some big things there. Have they supported the women's basketball program like that all along? Was it like that when you were playing?
Yeah, I mean, we packed it. It was Vivian Stringer at the right. time that I went back home and played for it too. So they packed it pretty well. Now it's just like overly packed, like really high level games. We would pack it, and then just, the weekdays we probably wouldn't. But now, I mean, I'm just so proud that Caitlin stayed home and, she just really built that. And it's really exciting for the state of Iowa.
And just it's so rare to see these coaches stick around for an extended period of time. They've been able to do that there. I mean, that's pretty.
Lisa?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was at Drake when I was coming out of high school, and obviously Vivian left and went to Rutgers at the time, and then Lisa just moved over, and obviously that's her home, that's where she's from. Jan Jensen's an assistant there, and Jenny Fitzgerald's been assistant there with Lisa for a long time. So they've just built that, and it's been up and down a little bit, but Caitlin has really pushed it over the top.
Yes, it's really impressive watching her get after it. What a competitor.
She's very competitive.
So you're coming off your second year here at Georgia, and first year went really well.
Yep.
This past year was a little bit of a struggle here, but you got a lot of turnover, losing some seniors. You got a good class coming in. You must be excited about what the future holds here moving forward.
The first year we were kind of ahead of the curve just because I brought in some players that were part of our system for 5 years, and so we had some great leadership, and they kind of knew us, and we kind of blended them with the players that were here and brought some freshmen in and some transfer portal. This year we were very young in terms of we hadn't coached everybody for a long time, and especially the portal kids we brought in, the freshmen we brought in, you know, and so, you know, this year was, it was a kind of transition reloading year, you know what I mean? And the people coming back are going to know our system really well. We got some phenomenal freshmen coming in, and obviously we're in the portal right now.
So, looking forward to seeing this this third season here. Coach Landers, I just loved him. Got a chance to know him when I was a student athlete here, and really admired the job that he did. And how's it changed between you as the player and Coach Landers, and now you as the head coach and Coach Landers?
Well, I mean, obviously as a player, I mean, I have to do, you know, I'm trying to win games and go to, you know, the Final Four every year and try to, you know, win the conference every year. And but he's always been such a sociable, great guy. And, you know, when I transferred back to Iowa, it was hard at first for the both of us. I was just kind of homesick. And so, but he kept in contact with me. I saw him at the Final Fours all the time. And, you know, so even now, I mean, now he's like, I'm not going to bug you, you know. But he's a phone call away, and he knows that if I need him for anything, you know, he'll be there. And he's been really, really supportive.
How about the state of Georgia as far as women's basketball goes? We talk a lot about the metro Atlanta area just having so many you know, male basketball prospects. What's it look like as far as the women's basketball around metro Atlanta and the state of Georgia, your recruiting ground?
I mean, I think the young ones coming up are getting really, really phenomenal, to be honest. And, you know, we have one of the top AAU programs here in the state of Georgia, so they do a great job of you know, getting the best players in Georgia and playing on the team, and they're very successful. So obviously our first year we were in a tornado. We didn't even know anybody yet. We knew the program, the AAU program, where we were learning the high school coaches. This year we got to learn a little bit more about the high school coaches, and we're going to have some team camps and stuff where the high school coaches could come. We've had, you know, coaches days where we can meet them. It's just been very hard in the first year and the second year just to transition. So we've finally settled in as coaching staff, and we're getting to know people a little bit more.
How would you describe the landscape of women's basketball in the SEC?
It's amazing. I think women's basketball is just on fire right now, and I love that. And I love the fact that, you know, I even hugged Caitlin after our game last year and said, thank you for doing so much for women's basketball. And I even hugged Angel Reese when we played him this year and said, thank you so much for doing so much for basketball. They're doing different things, but at least they're putting a spotlight on women's basketball. And, you know, back in the day when you and I played, I mean, obviously football was in the spotlight. Women's basketball wasn't on television every night. And, you know, we had great players and nobody probably even knows who they are, you know. But now those guys have, those ladies have really put a spotlight on women's basketball, and there's a lot of great young players that are coming up, and they have great role models. And that's the key, you know, to have some role models to want to be that great, to try to be like Caitlin or be like Angel or be like some of these freshmen that are phenomenal, you know what I mean? So it's just a whole different spotlight on women's basketball.
So you come back. How much had Athens changed? The University of Georgia, the footprint here seems it's a lot different than when I was roaming
it
the
is.
Campus here.
Well, I wasn't roaming.
Yeah.
You were probably roaming. It's a lot different. I mean, just the buildings that have gone up and the downtown area is a lot, you know, I don't want to say a lot better, but it's a lot better. There's more restaurants, more things to do down there, you know, and now it's broadening out to, you know, Bogart and everything. And so it's really expanded, you know. Obviously, there's more things coming in, and excited about that. So, I mean, I just think it's a great footprint for any student athlete to come here to Athens.
Yeah, as far as recruiting goes, I'm sure you're getting a lot of attention out there when you talk about women's basketball here at Georgia. People are paying attention.
Yeah, and, you know, our four freshmen coming in, they all won their state championships. They are all top 100 players in the country, so they're excited, you know, to come in. They're excited about our fans. They're excited. Our fans are super supportive, and, you know, I'm excited for next year. We're going to have some really good, you know, freshmen coming in and then some good portal kids coming on to blend with the players that are returning. And so we're super excited about that. And I know our fans, you know, our first year was amazing and they loved it and they got really pumped up and they were very loyal here on some of our struggles this year. And I love that about them, right? But we're still working hard as a staff and our players, and, you know, we're kind of getting rejuvenated for next year.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking time out to come over and just sit down and talk Georgia basketball with us for a little bit. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having
me. It's great to see you. Coach Abe in the house talking Georgia basketball. We appreciate that very much. We're going to come back on the other side, talk about this Georgia quarterback, Carson Beck, a little bit. You got the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Show here on the Fan 680 and 93.7. You probably heard you can stream at 680thefan.com and actually watch the show. I believe they can do that today. Hey, everybody. And they get the Fan mobile app driven by Beaver Toyota of Cumming. Beaver Direct, fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. We got the Cellini and Domino show coming up next. They're getting ready for Kirby Smart and Coach Mike White. And they look like they're cramming for those interviews right now. I must say, they look so excited. And looking forward to hearing that out of the boys coming up next. Right now, though, wanted to talk about the Georgia quarterback, Carson Beck. Now, a year ago, you know, some doubts about how good Carson Beck was going to be. I hope he proved what type of quarterback he could be. I hope you're paying attention, because the Bulldogs, what they got first year as a starter for Carson Beck was a top 10 rated quarterback in college football. You look at total QBR, Carson Beck, number 7 nationally, number 3 in passing yards, almost 4,000 yards a year ago. If you're a big yards guy, 24 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. Only sacked 11 times, so we're talking about every 27 attempts, Carson was getting sacked, which is a really, really good rate right there. Had 5 300-yard performances last season against Alabama in the SEC title game, was 21 of 29, 243 yards. His best performance, I thought, was the Kentucky game, where he went 28 of 35 for 389 and 4 touchdowns. And when I look at Carson, I'm thinking he's at his best when he's in the pocket throwing those intermediate routes. We're talking about the dig route, the deep crossing route. It's what that dig is. When he throws it outside the numbers, the comeback, the back shoulder, throwing the ball outside the numbers where you got to show off that arm. He's spinning it, man. He's fitting it into tight places and doing a good, really good job intermediate level of the defense. And look, he's mobile enough. I mean, he can see a lane on 3rd down and 7 and pull that thing down and run with it for the first down. His escapability was a little bit better than I anticipated last season. Can avoid the sack, as I just mentioned earlier. And he's in a really good position to have a better season this year than he did a year ago. He's got an outstanding offensive coordinator. And I know there's some critics out there for Mike Bobo, but I would look at the critics and say you're a little bit ignorant if you're criticizing Mike Bobo, one of the top offensive coordinators in college football. So Beck has that working for him. He has got as deep a wide receiver position group as Georgia has had in recent memory. I'd have to file back years to find a wide receiver group that's deeper than the one that they have right now. So he's in a really good spot with weapons at that wide receiver position. He's got a really strong offensive line. They're going to be one of the top offensive lines in college football this year, so he will be well protected. They're going to run the football, too. You know, Kirby wants balance out of his offense. Mike Bobo believes in balance. He wants balance out of his offense, so they're going to pound that football. So having a really good running game will help with run action fakes, where he's going to take some shots down the field, slow that pass rush down. Carson got some valuable experience last year, and he is in a really good position to move up in the eyes of the NFL. And you look at the 2025 NFL draft and look at the quarterback competition Carson Beck's going to be dealing with: Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, Drew Aller out of Penn State. You got Connor Wegman out of Texas A&M, Milroe, Uiagalelei, Gabriel, Van Dyke, Leonard, Jefferson, Jackson Dart. It's going to be some of the competition looking ahead to next year's NFL draft. And I'm looking for Carson to improve his draft stock in this upcoming season. It's going to be more comfortable. He's going to be the leader of this football team, too. I mean, no, a lot of focus is on him as far as the NIL valuation of over $1 million, the Lambo, and all those things that come along with playing the game these days, the PXG fitted clubs. I was a little jealous of that one. I can't say I've ever wanted the Lamborghini, but, you know, the PXG clubs now. I was a little jealous to hear that. But the most important thing that Carson Beck can do this coming year is lead this football team. He will be regarded as the team captain. When these players in the locker room, they're looking around the locker room and they see Carson Beck, immediately they're saying, okay, there's the guy we need to lead the football team. So I'm hoping he's totally focused on that this season. Man, he can ball out. I mean, he can spin that thing. He can throw it. Just got to focus on being the leader of this football team. Wants to win in the worst way and get this Georgia program back where it's wanting to be, and that's back in the playoffs with a shot to win the national championship. And that's my thoughts on Carson Beck. Let's get to the final word.
Time for the final word. Brought to you by Howard Brothers, keeping Georgia green since 1955.
All right, just a couple of words here, man. I love this place, the University of Georgia. So many great memories, so many awesome teammates, great coaches. Got to run into Coach Cavan earlier today and spend some time with him. The University of Georgia was good to me. And it was a dream come true to put that Bulldog uniform on and to also win big. That was the dream, was three things: is to put on that Bulldog uniform, to win big, and to play both football and baseball. And doing that was so special. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you, Coach Vince Dooley. Rest in peace. Left Athens with two championships, an SEC batting title, and four first-team all-conference honors, and enough memories to last a lifetime. It's always great to be back. Wonderful to be here today. Got more Bulldog coverage coming up here with the Cellini and Domino Show. Coach Smart and Coach White are going to hang out. Stay tuned for that, and have a great rest of the day, everybody.
I'm out of here.
Bye-bye.
The Atlanta Braves open. This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.